Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
This past week has been a very unusual week for my wife and I. On Sunday evening, we were just getting ready for the rest of this week, and we found out, I think many of you prayed for her, our good friend Erica Mickles passed away from cancer. At the age of 48, she battled bladder cancer for 6 years, and we all started seminary together, and she was like a sister to me, and so it was a very rough week in that sense of losing someone who loved the Lord, committed to him, serving him, and passed away at the age of 48. I think I've told you this before, her mom and dad really love the Lord. They work in missions, and when I first met Erica back 20-some-odd years ago, the very first thing we did with her parents and with Erica was her brother overdosed of a heroin overdose freshman year at University of North Texas. But we were there with her family during that time. So her parents love God, love Jesus, committed to him, and now have lost both of their children. But the good news is they're with him now and spending eternity in his arms. But then on the flip side, I felt kind of weird because the funeral was on Friday. It was on Friday at 11 a.m. But also on Friday at 11 a.m., I had the rehearsal for Prisca and Gemmo's wedding as well. So I was not able to make the funeral. Tara went instead with some folks here from City of Refuge, knew Erica as well. So it was a strange mix this week of like just sadness and grief, but also rejoicing and happiness. I don't know if you've ever had a week like that. Have y'all had a week like that? So, very strange week for me. But I also know here this morning there are some people here who are probably struggling and hurting and grieving perhaps as well. I've talked to several of you, and I know that you've got family members who are ill and perhaps in the hospital. And so what I want to do before we begin our message today, the Bible tells us pretty clearly to pray for one another several times. So if you've got a family member or a friend who is sick or ill, if you just stand right where you are, and the people around you, if you just lay hands on them and ask them, hey, how can I pray for you? And if you pray for one another, in about 2 or 3 minutes, I'll pray for all of us. So if you can, if you just where you are, if you're able to stand, if you just stand, if you've got a family member who's ill, that you say, you know what, I got a friend, family member that really needs prayer, just going to stand right where you are. All right, and all those who are seated, if you'd find somebody who's standing and ask them how you can pray for them and pray for them. Y'all can stand up over here. Well, God, you tell us in your word in James 5 that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And so, God, we pray that you would hear our prayers, Lord, on behalf of our friends and family that are sick and ailing and in the hospital. Perhaps some of those here today who are even grieving as well, God. And we live in a world full of rejoicing and goodness, but also a world with pain and brokenness as well. So, God, we just entrust our family members and friends to you. Pray for those who are grieving, that you would just comfort them as well. God, I pray for the Mickles family specifically. God, I pray for Walter and Sharon Mickles. God, the homegoing of their daughter. I pray for comfort for them. I pray for all of Erica's friends and other family members as well, God, that you strengthen and comfort them. And God, I pray, again, for each person here who's standing, who's asking for prayer, you'd be their strength, and pray for healing and provision. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. I appreciate that. Thank you for praying for one another. Praying for one another. Just know that if you weren't standing today, I think all of us will have a phase in life in which we'll be standing. So thank you for praying for one another. I want to give you a free resource. If you have your pens, take your pen out. If you have a pen, take your pen out. Before we give you the resource, how many of you all really want to get into the Bible more, really read and study the Bible more? Anybody want to read and study the Bible more? All right. How many of y'all have like a commute where you're driving in a car for 20, 30, 40, 50, an hour, whatever, have a commute, all right? So there's a website, write this down, Faith Comes by Hearing. Faith Comes by Hearing, all one word, faithcomesbyhearing.com. Faith Comes by Hearing. faithcomesbyhearing.com. All one word, faithcomesbyhearing.com. The mission of this organization, Faith Comes by Hearing, is that every person around the world, regardless of their language, regardless of their reading ability, would have portions of the New Testament available to them so that they can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So faithcomesbyhearing.com has audio Bibles in almost 1,300 languages, like 1,296 languages. And here's the thing. They offer all of these downloads for absolutely free. And so if you go on their website, faithcomesbyhearing.com. Yes, you have a question? Sure, faithcomesbyhearing.com. 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 Write that down. And you can download several English translations from Genesis to Revelation, all in MP3 format for absolutely free. And if you feel called and led, you can donate to them as well. And they found in their research that 70% of the world needs the Bible transmitted or shared with them orally. They can't read the Bible. Their reading skills are poor. And so what they've done is they have turned the entire Old New Testament in English and many other languages in all sorts of languages. And they've got portions of the New Testament in 1,296 different languages. So for many of us who now in Houston, the most diverse city in America, if you meet somebody and they say, you know, my English is not very good, you can find audio Bibles, perhaps in their language. And this is the other thing. Faith Comes by Hearing is a very unusual ministry. And here's the thing. They've got, in the English, I think I count like 8 different translations, and they have the straight red translation. Someone's just reading it. And they also have the drama versions as well. So some of them have like the sound effects of waves and wind and different voices and all that. So if you're really into that type of Bible, again, you can download the entire Bible for absolutely free. I've got it on my laptop and on my MP3 player. There are times when I don't want to listen to podcasts, don't want to listen to music, and all I want is a straight word of God. That is a resource for you. Faithcomesbyhearing.com. Now, here's the thing that's unusual about faithcomesbyhearing.com is they have actually put a term an end date on their organization. The most organizations, Christian organizations, are like, hey, we'll just keep going and going and going and going. And they have set the goal of by the year 2033, so 14 years from now, of hopefully having the Bible, the New Testament portions, in every single language around the world so that everyone around the globe has the ability to hear the good news in their own language. Amen? All right, there's three people clapping. All right, so three of you all excited. And this is what they do. In countries where it's illegal to have Bibles, and I just went to Presbytery with Jim and a couple of other elders at City Refuge, what Faith Comes by Hearing does is they have these recorders that they record the entire Bible on them, and they're solar-powered or hand-crank-powered, and there's a little play button and a little chapter and whatever, and they can play portions. And there's pictures on their website of entire villages in very remote areas of the world who are sitting around listening to the Word of God coming through this little audio recorder. They also have those little micro SD cards. They said in some countries it's illegal to have an actual paper Bible. And so we will sneak in these tiny little micro SD cards that have, like, you know, nowadays probably like 1 terabyte of memory on a little tiny card, right? And put the whole entire Old Testament, New Testament into these countries, and they put them in their computers or MP3 players and are able to listen to the Word of God. And again, the really unusual thing about Faith Comes by Hearing, the ministry, is they've said, our goal is to have it done by 2033. And after that, we're done. And you're thinking, what? Like, what organization does that? They say, hey, once we get to the goal, we're done. They said, that's our goal. We're not about fundraising and keeping people employed and keeping this organization going. Once we've got this done, we're done. Because for them, ministry is about people hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. And today we're going to look at this, and it's going to be very scatterbrained. Nehemiah 7, Nehemiah 11, and Nehemiah 12. What is the purpose of Nehemiah? I know as we've looked at this, you would say, well, the purpose of Nehemiah, the calling on Nehemiah was to build the wall. Amen? That really wasn't the call. Look at Nehemiah 7:4. Nehemiah 7:4. Nehemiah 7:4. Says this, at that time, the city was large and spacious, talking about Jerusalem, but the population was small, and none of the houses had been rebuilt. So the wall had been rebuilt, 52 days. There was a lot of room, and it says here in the text that there were not a whole lot of people, and the rebuilding of these homes had not started yet. Here's point number one. People living fully in God's shalom is the goal, not the work itself. The reason why Nehemiah and the group rebuilt the wall was so that temple worship could be restored. They could worship God again. They could serve God again. They could obey God again. But as they rebuilt the wall, they discovered, where are the people? Right? We need people to worship God. We need people to obey God. We need people to be in relationship with God. Where are the people? Look at Nehemiah 11, verses 1 and 2. Nehemiah 11, verses 1 and 2. Nehemiah 11, verses 1 and 2. So it says this, the leaders of the people were living in Jerusalem, the holy city. A tenth of the people from the other towns of Judah and Benjamin were chosen by sacred lots to live there too, while the rest stayed where they were. And the people commended everyone who volunteered to resettle in Jerusalem. So again, the city, their walls have been rebuilt, but there's nobody there. And so they have to resettle it. And so the mission of Nehemiah wasn't rebuilding the wall. Ezra didn't just rebuild the temple. It was for the fact so that people could begin worshiping and knowing God again. So people living fully in God's shalom is the goal, not the work itself. Go back to Nehemiah 7. Nehemiah 7. Nehemiah 7. Look at verse 8 through 45, and you see this. Hopefully you see it in other translations. It says in verse 8, the family of Parosh, 2,172. The family of Shephatiah, 372. The family of Arah, 652. You notice how these people are resettling Jerusalem. What's the key word there in verses 8 through 42? What words repeat? If you've got the New Living Translation, what word is repeated? Don't say of, y'all. It's family. It's family. Y'all see that? It's family. They resettled Jerusalem as families, as families. And here's a note that you'll see. Any community, any city, any country, any nation where you see a breakdown morally is usually accompanied by a breakdown of the family unit. Amen? Y'all seen that? A breakdown of the family unit. You see it all over the place. A breakdown of family unit. So they resettled Jerusalem as families. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there's only two families. Y'all know that? There's only two families. The biological family, the family that you were born into, and the church family, the people of God. And so if you say, you know what, I come from a very broken family, and I really have a hard time relating to my family, God, as a believer, is giving you the church family. But again, I want you to notice here that they resettle the land, Jerusalem, as families. Let's see this. Turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and I know that many of y'all know this verse already. A good reminder for us. And most of all I'm talking about today is just a reminder. Matthew 22, verse 37. Actually, look at verse 34, Matthew 22, 34. Matthew 22, 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with this reply, or with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in the religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And y'all know this answer, verse 37. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And so he puts the focus. He didn't say love programs, love buildings, love budgets. He says love God and love neighbor. So people living fully in God's shalom is the goal, not the work itself. Again, I say this as a reminder to all of us in here who are serving in ministry, who are perhaps working in schools and doing other things, is remember the goal is seeing people connected to God. I have a friend who's a former director of development for a very large international ministry. And they had a radio broadcast, a TV broadcast. They do crusades all around the world. They do publishing. And he was a director of development, which means he was a chief fundraiser. And this organization has a multi-million dollar budget. And so I would regularly go to him for some consulting advice and just stuff on ministry and churches. And he said this to me. He said, Icky, what's going to happen is the larger City of Refuge grows, the larger their needs are going to become. Because you're going to have a greater budget. You're probably going to have a greater staff. But he says, don't ever get it twisted where the mission of your church becomes meeting the budget. Don't ever let the mission of your church become keeping people employed. Because he says, in my ministry that I'm the director of development over, this multi-million dollar budget, very often we get lost in, distracted in, the mission of our church becoming, we need to raise $16 million. That becomes our mission. We need to keep all these people employed. We have a staff of like 300. We need to keep all these people employed, and that becomes the mission rather than we exist so that the good news can be proclaimed around the world. Our mission should be people. And that's what I love about faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. It says, you know, by the year 2033, our goal is that we'd have the audio Bible available for every single language in the world. And after that's done, we're done. Because our mission is people, not keeping this organization afloat. So again, people living fully in God's shalom is the goal. Go back to Nehemiah. Go back to Nehemiah. Go back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 12:43. We'll wrap up here. Nehemiah 12:43. Nehemiah 12:43. The wall is rebuilt. People have begun to resettle back in the land. The temple is there. They're back to, and you'll see them next Sunday, they made a commitment. They repented of their sin. They've recommitted themselves to God. And so now the goal is accomplished. So he says this in verse 43, Nehemiah 12, 43. Many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day, for God had given the people cause for great joy. The women and children also participated in celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. Their rejoicing was so great and so loud that they could be heard far away. So here's point number two, re-praise God when the goal is accomplished. They've now resettled Jerusalem. They reestablished temple worship. They've reestablished a commitment to God, obedience to God, the Sabbath. They've recommitted themselves to God, and they said, this is what the goal is. The goal was not building the wall. That wasn't the goal. The goal was so that God's people could come back and be connected to Him, to reestablish a relationship with Him. And because of that, they worship and praise loud. Let me ask you this. How many of y'all have ever come to City Refuge like late? Just be honest. Have you come late before? Thanks, John, for that. Thanks for the honesty. And have you ever come when worship is already going on here and you're walking the parking lot and you can hear the music outside? Have y'all heard it before? I love that. Whenever I'm here and like the band is like warming up and the ministry team is warming up and I can hear the music outside. And I want people to hear us worshiping and praising God. I heard a great testimony by a church planter in California. And California is spiritual darkness. My hometown where I grew up is spiritual darkness. And he shared this story about starting a church in a little storefront. And they would worship and praise in this retail center. So imagine like most people going to shop on a Sunday morning, buying groceries and getting stuff. And this is how, like, so this is the Bible Belt. Most people know about church, know about the Bible. In California, people have no idea what church is. People have no idea why people gather to worship. And he shared this story. He says, one day on a Sunday morning, the retail center is open. A guy is shopping because they've got this kind of open market, flea market. And he hears people singing loud and worshiping. And this guy loves music. And so this guy's drawn to this. And he goes inside this church building for the first time ever in a church building. And after all this is over, he's enjoying the music and the singing. He asks the pastor, what is this? Is this some kind of like glee club, like a sing-along where y'all get together and sing songs? And he said, no, this is a church and we gather to worship God, to worship Jesus Christ. He had never heard that before, but it was their exuberant worship that drew this man in. He heard it just shopping in that shopping center. And this man came to faith in Jesus Christ. And so this church planter said, we have stories like that all the time where people who have no concept about Jesus, the Bible, and the gathering called the church hear us worshiping. Here's what happened, though. They got kicked out of that shopping center. The other neighbors and other tenants says, we don't want a shopping church in our shopping center. They cause them a distraction. They're holy rollers. They're Jesus freaks. And so their tenant, the landlord, ended their lease. So now they're looking for a new spot to meet in. So we praise God when the goal is accomplished. Look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19. We'll wrap up here. Revelation 19. Two more verses. Revelation 19. Very last book of the Bible. We want to talk about the work being accomplished. Goal being accomplished. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to this day. When, I'll tell you what, I'm a little tired this morning. I know many of you all who were at Prisca and Gemma's wedding. Man, it was a party of all parties. A lot of dancing, a lot of laughter, a lot of good food. But that wedding reception pales in comparison to Revelation 19, that one day, y'all, the bride of Christ, the church, will be formally wed to our groom, Jesus Christ. And there'll be a party of parties. And look what happens in Revelation 19:1. After this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, y'all, praise the Lord. Is that Bethany preaching with me? Did you see shouting? shouting, y'all. Praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitute, corrupted the earth with her immorality. He has avenged the murder of his servants. And again, their voices rang out, praise the Lord. The smoke from that city ascends forever and ever. Look at verse 5. And the throne came to a voice and said, praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him from the least to the greatest. Then I heard again, look at this, what sounded like a vast crowd or the roar of mighty oceans or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let's be glad and rejoice. Let's give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She's been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And so when the work is accomplished, the mission's accomplished, in heaven they'll be rejoicing like there's never been before. The last thing, look at John 17, we'll wrap up. John 17. I feel like a Baptist preacher. I think I've said finally like three times already, but this is the very last verse, y'all. John 17. John 17, verses 1 through 3. So we praise God, the goal's accomplished. Praise God when the goal's accomplished. And I'll just say this. I think City Refuge can do a much better job celebrating what God has done. And over the next couple months, you'll be seeing more and hearing more about how we celebrate what God has done. John 17, verses 1 through 3. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you've given, and this is the way to have eternal life. Or some say this, and this is eternal life, that they may know the one true God and Jesus Christ, the one who he sent. So he says, this is the purpose. This is why Jesus came. Eternal life isn't just living forever with him. Eternal life is that everyone would know. And that word know is not knowing facts about God or knowing facts about Jesus, would personally, relationally know Jesus Christ and glorify him. So the big idea is this. The goal is simply people knowing and glorifying God. And as we look downstairs at all these nonprofits and organizations and ministries, they do a lot of great things. They teach people the Bible. They mentor teens. They help out families. But their goal isn't just to mentor teens and help families and to teach people the Bible. Their goal is that people would know the one true God. Here's some things to think about putting into practice. Number one, in the midst of serving and giving, why do we forget that seeing people, families, and communities redeemed and restored is the goal? How can we remind ourselves of the goal? Number two, what can we do to remind ourselves that physical structures like walls and buildings are meant only to facilitate ministry, not to become the ministry? Number three, how can City Refuge better celebrate and praise God when we see people redeemed and restored? You can share that in your groups. And then memorize Nehemiah 12, 43, just that section. The joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. Close with this biblical story. In Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, perhaps you've read this story. Jesus is crossing the Sea of Galilee with his disciples and some other boats are with him. Jesus says, hey, come, let's go over to the other side. Now, he's got all of his disciples. He's got some other boats with him. And if you remember the story, what happens in the middle of the story? They get hit by a storm. I heard like two people say it. They get hit by a storm. They get hit by a storm. The disciples are afraid. Jesus, simply with a word, calms the storm. They get to the other side. Now, all right, imagine this. You're in a boat with Jesus. There's all these other boats with y'all, all right? So I don't know the exact number, but let's say 50 people go over to the other side of Galilee and you've just gone through the worst storm you've ever been in, and these are experienced fishermen, all right? So wouldn't you expect if you get to the other side, 50 of y'all who've just gone through a storm, that there's going to be a massive assignment for y'all, right? 50 people with Jesus, right? Don't you think there'd be a massive assignment? But they get to the other side, and who's there? One Gerasene demoniac. Just one guy. They cast the demon. Jesus casts the demon out of him into the swine. He goes back and becomes the chief evangelist. And then you would think, all right, now I've got Jesus and 50 other guys. We've been through the storm. Now let's go do some other mighty miracles and preach, right? But then Jesus says, all right, time's up. Let's go back to the other side. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ had concern for that one person. It wasn't about mass crusades and numbers. It was about that one person to be set free. And so my encouragement to you is, in the midst of all that we're doing here at City of Refuge, let's not forget that the goal of ministry, the goal and the mission, and our mission is equipping you all, equipping people to make Christ known, is people fully living in God's shalom. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful for the reminders, friends and elders, that though having a budget is nice, and though having a building is nice, and air conditioning, and having partner ministries who are here today is great, God, our mission is not a budget. Our mission is not a building. Our mission is not programs and classes. God, our mission is to equip a diverse community, people, to make Jesus Christ known. So God, wherever we are, in the workplace, in schools, in medicine, in law, would you remind us that you have commissioned us to make disciples of people, followers of Jesus Christ out of people, and you've given us this great commandment to both love you and to love our neighbor, to love people. God, help us not to forget that. I'm grateful that Nehemiah has recorded this, that his mission wasn't to build a wall in 52 days alone. His mission was to build a wall so that people could worship God. People can know God. People can serve God. People can obey God. God, would you remind us of that as well? We ask it all in Christ's name. All God's people said.